And now, our feature presentation. Graphic Audio. A movie in your mind. Graphic Audio presents North America's Forgotten Past by W. Michael Gear and Kathleen O'Neill Gear. Narrated by Nanette Savard. With performances by Joe Brack, Margie Tompros, Tim Getman, Kate Foster, Casey Platt, Andy Clemens, Tony Nam, James Lewis, Joseph Thornhill, James Keegan, Lily Beacon, Ken Jackson, Nick DePinto, Eric Messner, Richard Rowan, Elizabeth Demery, Christopher Sheeran, MJ Casey, Scott McCormick, Ambi Van Dorn, Dan Stevens, and Ren Casey. Book 2, People of the Fire, Part 2.
Packs lay ready in the pink morning light. Blue wreaths of smoke rose from the shelter hangings to trace up the irregular gray wall of the limestone cliff. Chill lay heavy on the ground, breath condensing as people attended to last-minute preparations. Little Dancer stood to one side, watching, curiously detached. Sleep hadn't come. Mostly he'd lain awake, tortured by fragments of dreams when he did doze off. Once more, his world had changed, and he didn't know how or why. White Calf ducked out of the flap and walked painfully across to where he stood. She seemed to huddle over her walking stick, eyes on the dirt before him. She worked her toothless gums and looked up, meeting his eyes. The previous day seemed to have aged her even more.
I was wrong. I thought you were my responsibility. I know you had so much to learn. I didn't think I had much time left, you see. I thought I might die before I could teach you.
Of everything she could say, he hadn't expected this. Words wouldn't come. White Calf looked up at the star web above.
He's the one. The Sun Man. The Wolf Dreamer. He'll train you, Little Dancer. Foolish of me, boy. But then, that's the way of humans. We tend toward pride, toward thinking we're more than we are. No wonder we messed up the first world.
I don't understand.
I didn't either. I thought my part was greater than it was. Took seeing the vision yesterday, it all came clear. Oh, I had my part, all right. I was the key to your conception and safety. You know, your real mother was Clearwater, my daughter. I bore Hungry Bull's father to spawn him to marry Sage Root to take care of you. I was called to take you from Heavy Beaver at just the right moment. I was here to provide a safe haven for you to grow in. I have another couple of things to do, but they'll come in time.
He reached out for her, surprised at the ache in his heart.
I'll be back.
Oh, we'll see each other again. I think by the time winter's about over, you'll appear at my hearth. We're still tied, boy. But remember this. It's the spirals that are the most important of all. More important than those you love, or even yourself. He'll guide you to them. They're the places of power where his dreams are strongest.
I don't understand what you mean. The spirals?
Like the ones back of the fire pit in the shelter. The ones pecked into the rock. The old ones in the high places.
Circles within circles?
That's the world, boy. That's all of the Wise One Above's creation.
Will you be all right here? I mean, Bloodbear might come back.
I'll be fine. Oh, I've seen a bit of the future. Bloodbear won't bother me. I've got enough food laid in, and there's firewood aplenty around here. It was always the power, you see. I left Big Fox and my son, Seven Foxes, to chase the power to the high places. Then, when I established myself here, I met Cutfeather. Power brought us together, in more ways than one. We lost ourselves for a while. Something about love and coupling under the robes that lessens the way power works within you. Lessens the thirst for dreaming. He was good. One passion to weaken another. I bore him Clearwater and another child. That one was stillborn. Maybe I should have understood then. But it took a while longer. Cutfeather understood. He let me go. Care of your mother. It was always the high places. Power's stronger there. Like firelight will draw a moth to its death, so the power drew me. It sucks you up, possesses you, and you lose yourself in the wonder of touching that other place.
Little Dancer pointed to where Two Smokes had picked up the bulky pack and his net. Now the Bear Dash waited. The others stood, milling around in the quiet manner of people about to embark into the unknown.
I think they're about ready.
I guess I thus didn't understand. I wish I could have done better for you. I wish I could have been your dreamer. No, not a dreamer. A dancer. Fire dancer.
His muscles tightened. The Cloud Man had called him that.
Take care. We'll be back to see you soon.
White Calf stood, staring fixedly at the infinite point in her mind only she could see. Awkward, not knowing what else to do, Little Dancer walked past her, finding his pack next to the shelter where he'd left it.
She all right?
I think so.
She's fine. I've seen her like this before. Maybe she wants it this way. Wants us to leave while she's in a vision.
Little Dancer looked back, catching one last glimpse of the old woman, still propped on her walking stick like a patient heron, infinity in her clouded old eyes. Little Dancer sat on an outcrop of sandstone where it rose like a monster's backbone above the ridge. From the vantage point, he could look out to the east and the coming of the night. The land lay mottled, shadowed in lavender and buff, where broken ridges extended their lengths to the north and south. Beyond, the tan of the grasslands humped and rolled into the cloud-shadowed vastness of the plains. Heavy Beaver waited out there, somewhere, his flat features knowing and powerful. That superior smile, so familiar to Little Dancer's memory, lay lazily on those full lips. Little Dancer clamped his eyes shut and shook his head slowly.
They don't need a boy with bad dreams. They need a hero, like the First Man.
He turned, watching Elk Charm climb gracefully up the dun-colored rock, easing to sit next to him where she could share the view.
Lost in your head again?
I guess.
She shifted, wrapping long legs under her. The western breeze teased the rich raven tones of her long hair.
Two Smoke says it's the power in you. Do you feel it? The power, I mean.
I don't know. I guess. I don't know.
What's it like?
Scary.
You're very brave.
Well, I don't feel that way.
I guess it's because people do what they have to do to stay alive. I wonder about me. A handful of days ago, I was happy playing with Cricket and Tanager and full of laughter and games. Now I'm here because the world changed. I became a woman and Bloodbear wanted me. Now I'm mixed up in the middle of it.
Are you afraid because of that?
Yes, but I'll take my chances. I guess I don't... Well, I don't wonder about power the way you do. I think it just happens and I accept it.
I wish it was that easy.
Maybe you make it hard?
Maybe.
A silence stretched while he enjoyed the closeness. It had been too long since he'd had anyone he could simply talk to.
I think my mother and Hungry Bull are going to sleep together.
What?
He turned to stare.
But he...
How long has he been alone? Almost 5 years, isn't it? He looks like he's a very lonely man.
Yes, a long time.
And Hungry Bull lived alone, probably more alone than he did.
You look unhappy.
I don't know. No, not unhappy, just lost. Every time I start to feel like I know where I am, it all changes again.
Can I help?
I don't know. You may not want to. I seem to bring trouble wherever I go. Do you know the story of my real mother, Clearwater?
That's who you are? The story's told among the Red Hand, that she had the baby and was killed, that Two Smokes was crippled, and the child died. That White Calf came too late and only Two Smokes was alive.
Well, that's not what they tell me. And no one tells me who my father really was. That's funny, don't you think?
You don't know? Really?
No. Two Smokes wouldn't tell me.
Bloodbear.
Bloodbear? My... No! That can't be! Impossible!
Elkcharm avoided his eyes, turning her attention to her suddenly nervous hands.
I don't know. He was married to Clearwater. Something about a dream of hers. Then she left the Red Hand with Two Smokes. Bloodbear killed his father-in-law, Cutfeather.
Who Whitecalf had been married to... I don't... Why isn't this simple? Why does it always seem to be caught up in circles without ending?
He swallowed hard, soul tracing the pattern, understanding Whitecalf's words.
What's wrong? You've gone pale.
Blood and dung. It never stops, does it?
She shook his hand, the touch warm against his.
I don't understand. Little Dancer, are you all right? Look at me.
Absently, he turned his head, seeing the anxious light in her eyes. Her hand tightened on his.
It's all right. Really, it is.
But his soul drifted like smoke, twisting and without form, homeless, to blow here and there on the wind. She snuggled him closer.
You feel cold.
A sick feeling formed in the pit of his stomach as he wondered if it was part of the power that he'd be constantly upset, left reeling and off balance. Desperate, he hugged Elkcharm close, laying his cheek on her head, enjoying the reality of her physical presence. The fragrance of her hair filled his nostrils. A new stirring rose within him, one associated only with dreams. He pushed her back so he could stare into her worried eyes. She studied him anxiously.
I don't know myself anymore.
Could I help?
Something about love and coupling under the robes that lessens the way power works within you. Lessens the thirst for dreaming.
Have you ever...
Go on.
You're a woman.
She looked away into the distance, a slight flush rising in her cheeks.
You want to couple with me? If your father marries my mother, what would... I mean, is that incest?
But Hungry Bull isn't my father. My mother was Clearwater. You say my father was Bloodbear.
She chewed her lip for a moment.
Of course! And he's not even of my clan! We're free, Little Dancer! I've been worried about it for days, but we're free.
Then you'll let me?
According to my people, a man is made when he kills his first big game. You killed buffalo.
He nodded, wishing his heart hadn't started to pound again.
You've never coupled with a woman before?
He shook his head.
Whitecalf didn't want me around you. She thought I might affect your power.
I know.
Is that why you want to couple with me?
Maybe a little. Then, too, I dreamed of you in the night, of what it's like.
And we've coupled?
He nodded.
And planted seed?
He nodded again.
Among our cousins, the White Crane people, it's said that a dream like that twines souls together. That if the people involved don't couple in life, it makes the soul sick with longing, and eventually you'll die.
I get this warm feeling inside every time I look at you. Oh!
Come on, let's go down in the trees. I think I'm ready to be a woman in all ways, and I certainly don't want to take the chance of your soul sickening.
She didn't let go of his hand as they clambered off the rock and made their way into the Limber Pine. Tanager stepped out in the trail.
Ah!
Quite a pack, Snapshorn. You going on a hunt?
You know, one of these days, you're going to scare someone and they're going to drive a dart right through you.
Wanna bet? You couldn't hit me with the dart if you wanted to. I may not be as strong as you, but I'm quicker.
Maybe. All right, I'm going on a hunt. Now let me by. What I'm doing is none of your business.
It's Elk Charm, isn't it? You're going after her.
Maybe.
It's not like you answering short like that. You're planning something else, too.
What if I am?
You're in love with Elk Charm?
Look, you're always poking around in my affairs. I put up with it because we're friends, but no more. I'm going to go get Elk Charm away from that short buffalo boy, and that's it, you hear? Now get out of here!
He shouldered by her, trembling with rage. Tanager stared at his broad back as he left at a trot.
Short buffalo boy? The one who lives with the witch?
Tanager squinted after him, pulling at her hair. If Snap's horn caught the short buffalo boy, he'd kill him. Elk Charm might be widowed before she got married. Two Smokes watched from where he sat in the shade. They had stretched out every hide they had under the Limber Pine. Now, Hungry Bull, Three Toes, and Black Crow whacked the branches with long poles, flailing. From the shivering limbs, a wealth of pine nuts and needles cascaded onto the hides.
Does that look like all of it rattling hooves?
Enough for this one.
Too many winters had passed since he'd heard that spirit in Hungry Bull's voice, since he'd seen the light of laughter in those pained brown eyes.
Two Smokes?
Yes.
Little Dancer came to squat next to him, hands locked in his lap, watching the men and women picking through the hides, lifting the edges to pour the harvest into a skin bag.
Bloodbear is my real father, isn't he?
Where did you hear that?
One of the problems of living with Red Hand people is that they know the history. Clearwater married Bloodbear. When her bleeding missed, she left with you for the plains.
Yes, that's the way it was.
Then Bloodbear is my father?
He is.
Why didn't you tell me before? You're Berdash, the man who lives between the worlds. A Berdash understands and mediates. He knows both sides. And you didn't tell me.
Two Smokes looked over, seeing this young man who had once trusted him so thoroughly.
Would it have done you any good? Would it have made things easier for Hungry Bull?
No, but...
But you hate to find out from someone else.
It's like... Well...
Like you've been cheated somehow. Like the traitor took a dozen finely tanned robes and left you with a pack of rotten jerky.
That's how it is.
That's how it is, all right. But I didn't know what else to do. Now that you've met Bloodbear, you know another reason I, for one, never told you. I heard tell that when he left, all he could talk about was his stolen child. How he'd get his child back. Curious, isn't it, that all he took was the wolf bundle. He never asked about you. He assumed the stories were true, that you were dead. Then, that day he raided Heavy Beaver's camp, he had a chance to kill me. But the wolf bundle was more important than killing the man who'd run off with his wife.
You were Berdash.
I was Berdash. But I slept with Clearwater. Oh yes, don't look at me like that. I loved her. I don't know, maybe I loved her as a man would love a woman. Maybe I loved her as one woman to another. It doesn't matter. All that counts is that I loved her. After Five Falls died, I thought I'd never love again.
Love's a funny thing.
You want to tell me? I suppose you're literally on fire inside, hardly waiting for the opportunity to sneak away into the bushes to pump elk charm full of your semen.
Two Smokes got a hot look in return.
Oh, come on, little dancer. You're not exactly fooling anyone. Three Toes and Black Crow laugh behind their hands. Meadowlark and Makes Fun wonder quietly among themselves if you aren't too young to understand what you're meddling with. But that's the short buffalo people's beliefs at work again. And Hungry Bull is so lost in Rattling Hoof's embrace, he could care less.
And what do you think?
I think you're old beyond your years. I think I know what Whitecalf saw. Why she stopped worrying about Elk Charm and let you go.
And what was that?
That you can't help yourself. You asked what I thought. I told you.
I guess I did. But she's so... I don't know. Thoughts of her fill my life. She's easy to be with. I don't have to worry around her.
Below them, the rest of the band began moving the piles of hides to another tree, spreading them around to catch what they could knock loose.
And you think if you bury yourself so thoroughly in Elk Charm, the problem of the dreams, of the voices and power, will go away like a water puddle on a hot day?
That would be nice.
If only it could be so easy.
Why didn't you ever go back to the Red Hand? You told me once that maybe someday you'd tell me.
I swore on the wolf bundle that I'd take care of you.
Two Smoke smiled, remembering that day in the hot sun. He'd been holding the infant while Whitecalf did something, went looking for food or some such. And he'd sworn to care for the infant, unaware he'd done so on the wolf bundle until too late.
Was it worth it?
Two Smokes remembered all the suffering, the insults, the pain of being raped by callous men. He remembered the pain from the beatings and the final days when the wolf bundle was defiled. He relived the time of Sage Root's curse up to the moment that Whitecalf had come.
Yes, because for a while, I got to feel the power.
Me? I'm glad I'm shut of it.
Don't say that.
Well, I am. I found what I'm looking for. Here is everything we need. Food, protection. Here I'll watch my family grow. Heavy Beaver's far away in the plains to the east. Blood Bears in the high country. What reason would they have to come bother us? No. I'm through with power, and all the trouble in circles, and I'm just through with it.
The problem with power is that you never know. And speaking of this woman of yours, are you letting her do all the hunting for pack rats?
We found a couple of nests up there. She wants to look a little further.
Then you'd better take your fire sticks up. You know how to do this?
What's difficult? I make a fire and we set the midden to burning. When the pack rat runs out, we bash him with a club.
But you have to be very, very fast.
I'm like lightning. And Elk Charm, she's even quicker.
With that, he jumped to his feet and strolled over to his pack.
I hope you're right, little friend.
Two Smokes watched Little Dancer start back up the slope. A smart, proud young man who thought he could handle anything. Young men jumped, their greased bodies catching the firelight that accented the swell of muscles and body paint. The bonfire in the middle of the camp sent spirals of sparks high into the midnight sky. Beyond the illuminated confines of the camp, the grandeur of the star web could be easily seen. But not here, not where so much light filled the air. Around the circle of lodges, women watched, faces impassive. They stood mute. Buffalo robes pulled tightly over their shoulders, the spoils of his renewal of the people. Heavy Beaver sat on a white buffalo robe, each of his seven wives behind him. Two Stones, Elk Whistle, and Seven Sons sat watching to either side and slightly to the rear, Before him, planted in the ground, stood a long pole decorated with raven feathers and antelope hoof rattles, his insignia. It went where his lodge went. Among the cut hair, the fire buffalo people, and the white crane, that standard had brought fear. This celebration, this night of blessing, marked the reunification of the people under Heavy Beaver's leadership. He smiled happily into the darkness, imagining his mother's severe face.
I did this, Mother. You were right, like always. All it took was discipline and desperate people in need of what you taught me. When my young men had nothing left to lose but their lives, they managed wonders. All I had to do was dream a new way. Mother, you saw so well.
That flow of pride welled up in him. The whirling leap of the dancers reflected the ecstatic gyrations within his own breast. Through his vision, he'd reformed the people. Against bands of warriors sent to stop him, his young men had always prevailed, believing themselves invincible. Among peoples who had never seriously warred, Heavy Beaver had sent fanatics willing to kill to the last man. Against his berserk young martyrs, no one could provide more than a token resistance. What he watched was a celebration of his mother's vision and his implementation of it.
If only she could see. You saw this, Mother. You're the real leader. I only used the strength you taught me.
You've done very well. I never would have believed that this many of us would ever be in one place again.
The gruff old voice wrecked his concentration. The urge to rebuke the old man surged, hung for a moment, and ebbed as a cool wind of reason scattered his anger. Seven sons needed to be won yet. Heavy Beaver spread his hands wide, head back, serenity on the flat features of his face.
We're the new hunters of the Buffalo Lands. Like the very wolves, we prowl and take what we need. But it's more than the mindless courage of our young men. You see that warrior there? The tall one painted in blue with the antelope headdress.
The one dancing closest to the fire.
That's him. His name is Two Blue Moons. He's the oldest son of the Cut Hair people's chief, Fat Dog. He came to me. He offered himself to the new dreamer. I have a great deal of faith in him. When he leads a war party, his very presence drives our young men to seek to outdo him. Rarely does he let them. But the important thing is the daring, the cunning in warfare that such behavior develops.
Is that all, though? Life must have more to it than war and the ability to demoralize enemies.
Must it? Look around you. Once we were in rags, starving, always moving and dying, trying to find fewer and fewer buffalo.
We had some good years. Rain came. The herds began to grow, the calf crop.
And now the rains might fall again. And if they do, Seven Sons, we'll not stay bound by the old agreement to hunt only the lands drained by the Moon River. Indeed, we can hunt south, to the Sand River, to the Big River in the north. We can hunt where the game are, and no one will stop us. No, we hunt more than buffalo. We hunt people. If we can't find buffalo to kill for hides, we'll take them from those who do.
And if others become...
They won't. They can't.
You sound very sure of yourself, Heavy Beaver.
I am. I've dreamed the new way. And it's as the spirits told me. It's a new age, a new kind of life. We've cleaned the pollution from the people.
And what comes next?
To purify others as well. I don't intend on letting the Cut Hair or the Fire Buffalo or the White Crane ever challenge us again. Their power must be broken. Enough of their women taken to ensure marriage and economic ties with our bands.
A flush of certainty, like the rising of the morning sun, warmed him. That was the way. He could almost feel it in the very air.
And the Red Hand? How do you plan to tame the wild men of the mountains?
Oh, they'll fall. For the moment, the only advantage they have is that they know the country up there. They can ambush us at will. The key is to plan ahead. When we have enough supplies laid in and enough warriors trained for it, we'll go up there and root them all out.
There are some of my elders who...
Forget them! This isn't an age for the old men and old women to spout stories about First Man or the Hero Twins. Here, in this new world, we're making a new way. I am the legend of the new world, Seven Sons. My mother had this vision. She foresaw this future. She had power running in her veins like blood. I'm just living it for her.
The image he'd conjured possessed him. She had become the people. He cocked his head, seeking her words. They hovered at the edge of his understanding. If only he could break that last barrier and comprehend.
What is it?
Heavy Beaver ignored him, lost, trying to unravel the secret of his mother's words.
The water has ceased to run in Monsterbone Springs. As my power weakens, so does that of the world. Even the sagebrush is wasting. Can't you do something?
We have reached our limits for the moment. We must wait. Hope.
And watch a world die?
Hungry Bull helped Two Smokes down a steep place, looking around the new shelter. The old Berdash led them down a twisting trail as a gentle dusting of snow settled about them, whitening the shoulders, heads, and packs. Deer tracks had stippled the trail they walked. Across from them, the opposite side of the canyon looked cool and somber as the conical tips of fir rose dark green above snarled black timber. At the crest, however, broad meadows appeared to stretch up into the grayish haze of falling snowflakes and cloud.
Elk winter up there. Good place to hunt in the deep cold.
Good camp all around. Doesn't look like anyone camped here for a long time.
Maybe. Last time I stayed here was as a young man. Five Falls came here with his cousin and we spent the winter. The camp was pretty good, but the mice and pack rats almost drove us crazy that year.
But did you come this late?
Earlier, but we did the hard work then. We built a sheep trap up there. I don't think it would take much to fix it up. We've got the new net Elk Charm and I have been working on. Once we kill some bighorns, we'll have hides and meat for a while until the elk come down. Perhaps Hungry Bull here and Three Toes and Black Crow can kill a deer or two. From those hides, we can make snares for elk.
Did he say snare an elk?
Hunting here is different. Come, let's find this rock shelter. Rattling Hooves, maybe you can teach me how to snare an elk and hunt sheep?
I think you'll learn. But come on, it's starting to get dark. Better to be off this loose slope before we can't see our feet.
Tall stands of giant wild rye, brown under the hand of winter, hid the mouth of the rock overhang. The place looked to be 10 paces in length, and Hungry Bull found it extended back another 3 paces once he'd pushed through the screen of grass. In the failing light, he could barely make out the litter of a large pack rat nest in the back corner where the floor met the rock.
You could be right about the pack rats.
What we don't drive off, I'll eat. Hey, great hunter of the short buffalo people, why don't you make us a fire?
Three Toes helped Two Smokes up the slope and into the dark shelter. The rest straggled in one by one, sighing, shivering, and puffing in the cold as they shed packs here and there. Black Crow reached up to rap knuckles on the stone.
So this is home.
Worried?
Black Crow led Makes Fun by the hand, his 3 children staring around owlishly as Hungry Bull's quick fingers placed the charred, sharpened end of the small stick in the friction hole of the base piece.
Worried? No, we're not worried. Everything's just new is all. We don't feel like we fit here. Like the world's different, you know?
Hungry Bull nodded, glad for the blood he pumped through chilled arms.
I felt that way when we left Heavy Beaver's camp. That sage root had just been killed. I follow along like a soul without a body.
The spinning fire stick coaxed a faint thread of smoke from the tinder. Despite chill-stiffened fingers, Hungry Bull grinned as he got a red glow.
Got a place for this?
Black Crow immediately reached into his pack, drawing forth a twist of dried rice grass stems and shredded bark, all partially charred. Makes Fun reached for the pack rat nest, pulling long, dried lengths of sagebrush and duff from the mass.
And there's worse coming.
Hungry Bull scooped his glowing ember under Black Crow's grass twist and blew cautiously. The ember gleamed, a bright red eye. Smoke rose in a thin trail. A dance of flame gave birth and greedily devoured the twist. One by one, they fed bits of twigs and sticks, adding bigger pieces until they had a crackling blaze.
Hey, look at that!
Three Toes pointed at the sloping back wall of the shelter. A long section of sandstone had broken loose, the top of it barely protruding from the floor, so long ago had it happened. In the meantime, the flat panel created by the roof fall had been smoke-blackened and soot-encrusted, but not so much that a person couldn't make out the figures pecked into the rock. A large spiral dominated the panel. Three Toes stepped closer, rubbing at the side to clean the rock.
Blood and dung! A monster! Look! Look how well this is done! There's the hump back, the big teeth, and the tail thing growing out of the snout.
He scrubbed at the wall with his hand, wiping more of the soot away, and stopped cold, peering at the figure he'd uncovered. A man with a dart stood to one side, obviously in the act of casting his deadly weapon into the monster's side.
White Calf always said that people killed the monsters like we do the buffalo.
Hungry Bull reached over the huddle of children clustered around the fire, with hands out to the warmth. He snagged a burning brand and stuffed it into the side of the pack rat nest.
I don't like pack rats. They chew things in the night. They also lead to trouble with spirit power. I was doing just fine until a pack rat chewed my atlatl once.
That nest ought to make enough coals for a day or two. I'll smack them when they run out this side.
Rattling Hooves positioned herself across one of the runways with her walking stick raised. Elk Charm took the other side. Three Toes shook his head, attention glued to the rock carvings, as Black Crow came to stand next to him.
I don't know how long those have been there. I first saw them when I was a boy, maybe as old as Dancing Leaf.
The Berdash pointed to Black Crow's oldest daughter.
And they were old then.
Ah! Gotcha!
On the other side of the spiral, Three Toes uncovered pictures of two animals, obviously mountain sheep from the horns curling on their heads. Then he found a buffalo and an elk, both transfixed with darts. A series of grooves in the lower part of the wall he identified as scrubbings for platform preparation in the manufacture of chipped stone tools. But above, hidden in the dancing shadow of the fire, he scraped the soot from one last figure.
What's that?
Three Toes stepped back as the lines of the animal became clear.
Wolf, look. Like it's alive.
Hungry Bull managed to glimpse his son's face, seeing the color drain from his wind-nipped cheeks.
Wolf was the spirit helper of the first man when he came from under the world. We never cleaned the rock carvings when we were here.
That's two. Fresh meat tonight.
Three Toes grinned, stepping back to put his arm around Meadowlark and ruffle his children's heads.
Hey, this might not be such a bad place after all.
No, it might not be bad at all.
Then Hungry Bull caught sight of Little Dancer, still pale, glazed eyes on the wolf that seemed to stare down at him from above. The old ewe trotted forward, stopping for a moment to look back over her shoulder.
Slow up!
Little Dancer stopped where he was, trying to keep his footing on the steep slope. Sunlight slanted from the winter sky, warming the southern face of the canyon. Behind the rocks, shadows of snow clung in the recesses.
Can't believe people hunt like this.
Ahead of them, perhaps four dart casts away, the little band of mountain sheep stopped in the old ewe's shadow, staring back at them.
Now what? Forward, just a bit at a time. We don't want them to spook and bolt. If they do, they'll miss the trap.
Little Dancer sniffed, seeing if he could detect any odor of the sheep. The air stung his nostrils. Below him, Elk Charm picked her way carefully. As if she could feel his eyes on her, she looked up, smiling. A pleasant thrill rose peacefully in his breast. Finally, he could smile, laugh, enjoy life as it should be lived. This bit of land had become theirs, Here they lived beyond the fear of Blood Bear, beyond the nightmare of Heavy Beaver. Ahead of him, the sheep began to move again, the old ewe leaping gracefully from rock to rock, the sun shining on her sleek winter coat. An old ram followed the rest, uneasy, hanging to the rear as if he didn't know quite what to do. From where Little Dancer traced his way along the slope, he could barely see the low saddle.
Time for Elk Charm to work her way ahead and up.
Below, Elk Charm waved and began to move faster, walking along the more stable rocks. Black Crow and Meadowlark took up the pace, keeping the line more or less even. Hungry Bull kept his position. The old ewe trotted ahead. The younger ewes and lambs followed, almost buck-jumping across the loose scree. Reaching the secure footing on the other side, the lead ewe stopped, staring at the saddle as if she understood. Little Dancer thought about the dwindling supplies of meat.
Please, Mother.
The ewe turned to stare over her buff shoulder. Across the distance, he could feel her eyes on him.
Please, Mother, we need your meat.
The drive line had come to a stop. The ewe shot a quick glance up toward the trap. The decision seemed to waver in her mind.
Please, Mother.
Little Dancer tried to reach her, to explain the starvation that could befall a people without the gift of meat. Time slipped. He didn't realize he'd fallen to his knees, arms lifted, the oneness wrapping around him like fog around the scabby bark of the valley cottonwoods in the morning.
We're hungry, Mother. Lend us your life. Share your spirit with us.
Understanding, regret, acceptance, the emotions filled him, possessed him. He himself turned, walking on four nimble legs, starting up the slope. He watched a colorless world now flatly visible in the shades of gray through the ewe's eyes. He relished the power of her legs as she bounded up the slope. Then she passed between the two rocky outcrops, topping the crest of the ridge, running down between the stacked pitch pine wing walls of the trap. Her muscles took the leap into the catch pen while the others crowded behind. Two Smoke's net rose behind. She waited, sharing the moment with him, uneasy, but accepting so long as he shared her mind. The shouts of the hunters shot terror through the rest of the herd. The net crowded them forward, handled by the crippled Two Smokes and the agile rattling hooves. They appeared oddly out of perspective, looking flat and awesome through the ewe's eyes. She barely flinched as the net lowered over her, a weight that couldn't be comprehended. The others stood trembling, trying to understand this thing, this binding of strings, smelling of human and juniper bark. He understood the clubs, and through him, so did she. The rich odor of blood carried on the breeze, its musk mixing with the scent of humans. Inevitable death approached. Little Dancer stared up at his father, huddling down as the club rose against a gray sky.
He's waking up. Little Dancer? Can you hear me?
The familiar feeling of hands, human hands, cradled him. Warmth rose from the body supporting him. He stirred, savoring the sensations of life, of the heart beating in his breast. A wonderful sensation of numbing chill saturated his legs and arms and led him to shiver.
What happened? Did you fall?
Elk Charm's concern brought him up from the layers of infinity to open his eyes to the bright light of a slanting sun. He blinked, finding himself on Elk Charm's lap. Hungry Bull crouched over him, holding his hands, half-frantic eyes searching his face anxiously. Around him, Three Toes, Black Crow, and Rattling Hooves bent over, expressions tense.
You missed the hunt. You fell down and...
I was there. The you and I. One. We were one. She was going to drop down. I missed the trap. I pleaded.
We've got to warm him up.
He floated off again, awed by the thought that he'd died with the ewe. And it hadn't been unpleasant.
Ugh.
warmth. Smoke tickled his nostrils. Bleary-eyed, he blinked at a fire set into a shallow pit. The odor of roasting meat filled his nostrils. A sudden hunger saturated him.
And he keeps talking about the one? I saw the you stop, and I thought for sure she'd bolt and we'd miss them. A feeling of power prickled in the air. I knew it, the way a Berdash knows. Then the you turned and walked right into the trap. She didn't even look scared, but her eyes, the way she stood, possessed.
Shared.
Little Dancer stared into the crackling flames, drifting with the sparks.
What do you think about Little Dancer and his visions? You know, he's not like a child who... child. I mean a man. But he's so young and so old at the same time. You're his father. What do you make of it?
Hungry Bull shook his head, stopping to pack down a place to stand in the knee-deep snow so he wouldn't slip and tumble back down the steep trail. The pockmarks of elk tracks wound around the uprooted base of a blown-down tree and disappeared into timber.
I worry about him.
An elk charm?
He's a man, old friend. He's killed his meat and taken a woman. He's proven he can feed her. He's taken the responsibilities of a man, and he acts like it. He's strong and smart, and he has to make his own way now.
Three Toes looked back down the torturous trail they'd followed up the mountainside. Up was always less scary than down. Long braided hide ropes curled on their backs.
You feel cramped in here, like you can't see. Like some monster might reach out all these trees and eat you or something.
My odd boy, the one you worry so much about, would dream you back.
You think that's what he did? I don't know. Maybe he did. My calf always said he had power. And Two Smokes, well, I always thought he was different. But, you know, these Anita, they think Berdash have some sort of power, like traders.
Not like traders. They're Berdash.
Okay, Berdash power. I can start to believe that.
Hungry Bull squinted up at the tiny patch of blue sky he could see straight overhead.
I think Little Dancer has power. I hear him at night while he's asleep. Dreams come on him. Not like normal people dream, but power dreams. A lot of times he wakes up, but he doesn't, you know?
I know. I saw. Last night. You called to him and he answered that it was the fire. I looked and the fire looked just fine. He had his eyes open, Hungry Bull. I could see that, but it was like he wasn't inside.
You were awake when I asked him about it this morning. He just blinked at me, baffled.
Yeah, that's enough to make my hair stand on end. Meg's fun is getting a little spooked about it. Black Crow's told her to keep quiet, that it's a phase, and Little Dancer will grow out of it.
Come on, the snow's freezing my feet standing still like this.
And Hungry Bull wanted desperately to avoid the subject that had started to wear on all of them. He took another step, following in the path of the elk that had climbed before them.
So, we're gonna snare an elk just like a rabbit? Sounds real crazy.
Why? You heard what Rattling Hooves said.
You and Rattling Hooves seem pretty blissful under the robes. Are you and she gonna stay together? What about this one cast? Is he gonna be trouble for you?
Hungry Bull pulled himself over a deadfall, then reached back and offered Three Toes a hand.
She says it won't be trouble. She says that among the Red Hand, a woman can leave a man, just like that. I guess, though, that it's considered polite to do something for the old husband. Take him a couple fine robes, maybe some meat. But one cast married her more or less because she needed a husband. At least that's what she tells me. One cast likes his first wife best, a woman called Wet Rain. Rattling Hooves sure liked them both. Said they helped deceive Blood Bear when he tried to take Elk Charm. I guess that's reason enough to like them.
Well, I can see that. Anyone who doesn't like Blood Bear's all right in my view. And then I don't seem to be doing any too good with dreamers or leaders these days.
Don't worry about it. We're safe now. We can all start over, learn new things, and stay out of Heavy Beaver's way.
And Bloodbear?
I don't think he'll bother us. Not with Whitecap speaking for us.
I don't want to rain on your buffalo, Hunt, but she's not as young as I'd like her to be.
Thinking about another wife?
Oh, stop! Whitecap? A wife? I could think of bunches of better ways to commit suicide. Like sneaking up behind a mad buffalo and slapping its scrotum with a prickly pear cactus. But what if she decides to take her soul to the Star Web sometime soon? What do we do then?
That's why we go visit the Red Hen in spring. We go as relatives to Rattling Hooves and Elk Charm and Two Smokes. We go and visit and trade and come back here. Rattling Hooves says that come spring, we'll have Shooting Star, Balsam Root, Onions, Sago Lily, Biscuit Root, and all kinds of things growing up here. Then in late summer and fall, there's Serviceberry and Currants and Pine Nuts and Roughneck Grouse and all kinds of good stuff. We might have to move a little to find the slopes with the best harvest. I guess that changes from year to year, but it won't be bad.
You like all that stuff? You like not eating buffalo?
Put it like this. I've grown used to looking down and seeing my navel. Maybe not so round as Black Crow's, but still, I haven't been hungry for a long, long time. Not only that, but stuff like Sago Lily is sweet, wonderful. And baked biscuit root is like nothing else in the world. I could eat that for the rest of my life.
It doesn't seem right. All that digging in the ground.
Not more than a couple weeks ago, I told my son the same thing.
So what happened?
Rattling Hooves came into my life. For the first time since I saw Whitecap up on the ridge that day, the sun shone. The hole in my heart that opened when Sage Root was murdered, well, it isn't gone completely. But there's a part of me that's full where I didn't know it was empty. I feel whole now. Besides, your children like it here. I watch Two Moons, Lapsalot, and Grasshopper up with Black Crow's Get. They were all rolling rocks down the hill, laughing and shrieking to wake the ghosts.
Yeah, they like it. We live so far east with Seven Sons Band, they didn't get much chances to roll rocks. Young ones should get that chance.
And Meadowlark and Makes Fun will like it better too. Work's not so hard up here. They won't have to go so far for firewood in winter. Water's almost everywhere, food's easier to find. You don't have to pack as much on your back.
They cleared the trees, walking out into one of the lower meadows. Three Toes pointed to a narrow break in the trees that separated their meadow from one above it.
I'd say there.
Near the break, the snow had been dimpled by elk beds and stitched with tracks. The place stunk of the rich, musky odor of elk. Piles of scat and urine discolored the snow. Three Toes kicked urine-crusted snow loose.
They crossed through there, I'll bet.
Think those trees are strong enough to hold an elk?
Think our rope is?
Guess we'll find out.
So, how sensitive are elk to man smell? Will they pass through there even though everything smells like people?
Rattling Hooves said we should piss on either side of the passage through the trees. She said elk sniff and leave their mark on top of man's.
You're joking.
No joke. She told me that when she was married to Elk Charm's father, he used to backtrack and find elk had followed him for half a day.
Hunted and hunter, huh? Like silver bears.
Three Toes stared over his shoulder at the somber line of trees. Hungry Bull stepped into the first elk bed and almost fell. The animal's warm body had frozen the snow and coated the bed with a glaze of ice. He picked up a pellet from the pile, squeezing it between thumb and forefinger.
Frozen solid. They've been gone a while.
The passage through the trees looked excellent. The trail had been packed down by elk feet. Hungry Bull boosted Three Toes as high up the tree as he could to tie off the end of the snare. Together, they hung the loop just so, at the right angle to catch an elk's head.
So, that's an elk snare. And I did it all on my own.
You trapped sheep, too, and knocked pine nuts out of trees.
And liked them. Yeah, I suppose I could get to like this life. But it's a little lonely. I miss hearing the old tales. Maybe we should have brought Little Dancer. He could have made a sign or something that draws elk better than urine.
Hungry Bull shrugged. He started to turn and froze, reaching to pat his friend on the shoulder. Three Toes turned and stopped short. The wolf stood in the shadows of the trees, eyes burning curiously yellow, as if lit from a fire inside.
Big, isn't he?
Yeah.
For long moments they watched. Then, as if by magic, the wolf disappeared. Three Toes blinked and rubbed his eyes.
Oh, I didn't even see him move.
Me either. Did you notice? Oh, never mind. Must be the light.
You mean the way he looked just like the wolf drawn on the rock back in the shelter?
Just like the wolf in the shelter. Just like that.
You look worried, girl.
Elk Charm met her mother's eyes before gazing back down the valley. The slopes now had a faint green tinge that had begun to challenge last year's brown. Overhead, the crystal sky stretched into a blue infinity that threatened spring.
I was thinking of something Two Smokes told me. About dreamers.
Rattling Hooves settled herself in the warm sun next to her daughter.
I've caught you looking into nothingness more than once. You sneak those faraway looks whenever you think no one is watching. Want to tell me about it?
I always thought it would be Snap's horn. Then I met Little Dancer. I love him with a feeling like a fire's inside me. I never knew I could love a man this way. He's so... Well, he's gentle, always thinking of me, and he holds me like I'm the most precious thing in his world.
I've seen.
But he frightens me. There's a part of him I can't share. Something that's beyond me.
And Two Smokes? You said he told you something about Little Dancer?
He told me once about how power uses people. Like humans use tools for a single purpose and then discard them. He talked about a dart as an example, how it was so carefully crafted and finally cast at an animal. You know what happens to darts? Sometimes they miss and land in the rocks. When that happens, the point shatters, the shaft cracks. All that work for nothing. Sometimes they get lost in the snow or thick grass, forgotten, left behind to rot away.
And you think the power's that strong in Little Dancer?
Yes, Mother. I think he's more powerful than he knows. The day at the mountain sheep trap was only a hint. I've watched trappings before. You know as well as I that they were about to bolt the wrong way. He dreamed them in. Since that day, I've watched Two Smokes. He sits in the back of the shelter, not saying much, but his eyes are always on Little Dancer, staring through slitted eyes. I asked him about that. He smiled funny, as if his heart were tearing, and told me that a Berdash can feel power, that they live in the halfway place between the worlds. And he won't tell me more. He just places his hand on my shoulder like a reassuring brother and walks off.
Rattling Hooves put her arm around her daughter's shoulders.
Yes, I suppose Little Dancer does have power, but as far as I'm concerned, he can take care of himself. It's my daughter I'm worried about. What do you think? Is he worth the trouble? Will you be all right?
I think so. He's going to be a great man, Mother. I can feel it. Maybe as great as First Man was when he brought the people up from the First World to this one.
But the legends tell us that First Man avoided women.
And if he's called, I guess I've had my warning. I can prepare for that day. And when it happens, I'll have had what time with him I've had, won't I? I mean, if you could have known what would happen to Father, you'd only have so much time. What would you have done? Turned away from his robes?
I didn't know that we'd begun raising adults at so young an age. When I was your age, just out of the menstrual lodge, I was interested in men, trying them all, learning what coupling was about. And here you are, worrying about only one and what he'll do to your life. Most girls your age are too wrapped up in themselves to think that far ahead. Or Is it that you've only had one man? Maybe it's a lack of experience. Hmm? Could that be it? You've thrown all of yourself into Little Dancer when he's the only man around who can...
No. I've thought about that. I've thought about all the things Tanager and Cricket and I promised ourselves we'd do. Sometimes I lie awake at night and watch the firelight on the rock overhead and try to think what man I'd rather have. I don't just mean in our band, but among all the Red Hand. Snapshorn had always been the one I dreamed of. I still like him, and maybe if Little Dancer left, I'd still go to him. But Little Dancer's different.
They all are.
I mean it. He's, well, so kind. He's been hurt. Tell me, when you look into his eyes, what do you see?
Rattling hooves shifted uncomfortably, the gentle lines of her face thoughtful.
Yes, I know what you mean. I see the same thing in his father's eyes, but I can trust Hungry Bull. He wouldn't hurt me. He has that sense of identification with others, that what was done to him can't be inflicted on anyone else. I've known men who do that, turn their pain on someone else. Blood Bear would. He'd make another pay for what was done to him by life.
Little Dancer wouldn't do that. He wouldn't hurt me.
Rattling Hooves shifted, taking up Elk Charm's hands. Her serene eyes probed her daughter's.
Not knowingly. What I wonder is what he'll do if the power asks.
I don't think he knows himself. I've asked, and he says he's not the one. He repeats that over and over.
Like he's trying to convince himself?
Blood and dung, I hope not.
Yet Elk Charm knew she'd made up her mind. She'd savor every moment with him, keep each of his smiles as her own. If the power proved stronger than she, that rocky and forbidding ridge would have to be scaled when the time came.
You know, the others are beginning to worry. When Little Dancer dreams at night and makes the noises, it wakes the children. Makes Fun and Meadowlark are getting nervous.
They're living in a new land, learning new things. We're all cramped up in that little shelter, and the winter seems like it will never end.
Sure, we're all tired of each other, but part of the constant tension is caused by Little Dancer. I've done a little talking to Two Smokes myself. He's no fool. He can feel things coming to trouble.
What did Two Smokes say?
Two Smokes thinks that Little Dancer needs to go see White Calf. Wait! Hear me out first. Two Smokes thinks White Calf can help Little Dancer find his way now that the power's changed between them. That if Little Dancer keeps fighting it within himself, he'll tear his soul in half. When that time comes, you'll have to let him go. Will you think about it?
Elk Charm nodded, tears forming in the corners of her eyes.